Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1324. We'll be reading one verse from that chapter. We'll read a couple verses from the next chapter, and then a verse from yet the next one. But all of these verses in the book of 1 John. This announcement, while you're still finding your place, pray for Jane Waddell and family in the loss of her husband, Leon Waddell, who passed away yesterday afternoon. He was a member here. He was a long-time shut-in, and the funeral arrangements are being made this afternoon and will be announced this evening. This was a good man, and I know a lot of you folks will want to be thoughtful to the family. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. First, the 17th verse of chapter 3. We'll read this verse together, please. Ready? But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, verse 9 and 10 of chapter 4. The 9th and 10th verses of chapter 4. Likewise, we'll read these verses together. Ready? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Chapter 5 and verse 3. Let's read, please. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And let's pray. And Father, it's a wonderful thing that we've gathered these many years now at this place on the Lord's Day. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the wonderful family of fellowship that we have here, and thank you that there have been many, many causes for rejoicing in this place. We rejoice once again to be here. We pray that you'll send us on our way rejoicing, having heard thy word as you've given it to our preacher. So give him your power, give us the intent to listen and to obey thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask you to give me real good attention this morning. I'm going to speak today on the subject, herein is love. Or I might call it this, love is a fruit and not a root. Whichever one you want. Would you mind moving that little blanket in there for me out of the aisle? Somebody's going to stumble on it after a while. Thank you very much. But I want you to listen. The longer I live, the less I know about love. And the more I want to know about love, and the deeper love becomes. I know one thing. I know the average person doesn't even know anything about love at all. Love is something that appeals to your senses. That's all it is. And it really is more of a lack. And very few people know more than the skim of what real love is all about. Now I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. I want to talk this morning on the subject, herein is love. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but I want to read a few of those verses again. Listen to me as I read them. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need. Hope my sister will read this very carefully here. And shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What it says there is the love of God doesn't dwell in him. That's what it says. If you have goods, you see your brother have need, and you don't do anything about it, and you may say, I love my brother, but you don't. Let me give you another verse. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now what manifests the love of God? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, we might live through him. What was the loving? The sending of the Son. Love is a fruit and not a root. Or you could say love is a shoot, in the sense of a flower shooting forth, and not a root. I'll read this for you. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Loved us how? Sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Let me read you another verse, same book. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Didn't say it would tingle on the inside. That we keep His commandments. Love is a fruit. It's not a root. It's seen. It's not love if it's not seen. And His commandments are not grievous. Let me pray and then ask you to listen carefully. Father, I come this morning to delve into a bottomless pit. I come to try to explain an inexplainable subject. I come with humanity trying to explain deity. I come with a mind that cannot comprehend love to try to explain love to thy people. I pray you to help me as I do. Amen. Stand up straight, listen very, very carefully. I'm not a tourist. I wouldn't give you a dime for every museum in the world. We went to Cairo, Egypt, and went to that Egyptian the museum there and had all King Tut's stuff. I don't care what kind of chair King Tut sat on. It just doesn't bother me. And it went in there and looked at all those little mummies in there, little things. I don't care if they're mummies or daddies, if they've been dead for several thousand years. I don't care about seeing them. I'm just not a tourist. I go sometime within 10 miles of where Appomattox was. First place, I don't like what happened at Appomattox. But I don't care. I don't give a flip about, well, but George Washington sat here. Well, I sat here. I'm interested in where he sits. I'm interested in where I sit. Abraham Lincoln slept here. Well, I'm interested in my sleep, not Abraham Lincoln's sleep. And I'm just not a tourist. And if you are, you're not right with God. But I just don't care for stuff like that. And when we were in the Cairo Museum, all those mummies and everything in there, and grand mummies. And in fact, they looked to me like great, 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 great grand mummies. But I sat on a chair or a bench out in the lobby where everybody else was looking at all that dead stuff. I like stuff that's alive. And only thing I like is dead if it's medium well on a tray, that's all. But anyway, I was forced to go to a little science kind of a deal, they had a bunch of little science stuff. I was preaching somewhere and the pastor's son was involved or something, and I had to go to be nice. And I was watching a man pouring some ingredients into the top of a little doojigger there. Well, let me get that. I get mad in a minute. I won't be able to run around here if I get mad. So I was watching this man opened up a top, poured some stuff. Listen to me. Poured some stuff, little doojigger there, and then he poured some more stuff in the same little doojigger, and then he poured some more stuff in the same little doojigger. And I always loved to stand and watch men pour stuff in doojiggers. I was watching it, and I asked the question, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm making ice cream." Well, that suddenly I became a tourist. And he said, "I'm making ice cream." Listen to me. I said, "All that stuff you put in there, is ice cream in there now?" He said, "No, it doesn't become ice cream until it comes out." He said, "No, that's not ice cream in there. It's the ingredients of ice cream. But it doesn't become ice cream until it comes out." And I said, "That's it." He said, "That's what?" I said, "You asked me. I'm going to tell you." I said, "That's the Christian life." I opened the Bible. He stopped putting that stuff in that doojigger after he had showed me how that stuff became ice cream as it came out. I opened the Bible to 1 John 3 and 4 and 1 John 5 and James 2. And I gave the fellow a little Bible study there. It wasn't a Christian outfit, really, but it was when I was there. And I said, "That's love." He said, "No, it's ice cream."
I said, no, that's what love is all about. I said, that didn't become ice cream till it came out of the machine. In fact, the coming out of the machine is what made it ice cream. And I said, that's love. I said, love isn't love till it comes out. I said, you can't have love. Somebody said, well, down inside he has a heart of love. No, he doesn't. He may have the ingredients for love, but it's not love that comes out. Love is a verb. And so I said, you can't have love. Love cannot dwell. Love only becomes, listen to this statement, love only becomes a noun after it has become a verb. You love, and then you have love. You don't have love, then you love. Love cannot dwell. To be love, it must have an object. Love is not love until it's expressed. You know what I get sick and tired of? I get sick and tired of a lot of things. Let me just list one of them. I get sick and tired of these people coming to my office for marital counseling, saying, I think she loves me, but she doesn't express it. No, she doesn't love you. Well, I love him, but I don't tell him. No, you don't love him. Well, I have love for him. You can't have love. You give love. It's not love that comes out. And I sit in my office again and again and again with couples sitting out there, and some little gal thinks it's a merit because she has love in her heart for her husband. Or a man thinks he's pretty good because he says he has love. You can't have love. It's not love till it comes out. That wasn't ice cream in that machine. It was ice cream as it came out of the machine. And the coming out of the machine is what made it ice cream. And it's not love until it comes out. You can't have love in your heart. Love is love. You have the ingredients, but love is love when it comes out. Love is not love until it's expressed. And love is not love until it's told. You hear what I said? If you don't say I love you, you don't love. Because the saying I love you is loving. It becomes love when it's said. It becomes love when it's expressed. Well, you say, I'm a man. I'm a real he-man, and he-men don't get emotional. You're also a real idiot. Real he-men love. And real he-men show their love. And real he-men tell their love. It is absolutely impossible for you to possess love. If it's possessed, it is not love. It is love when it comes out. Well, her heart is filled with love. No, it isn't. I love you is impossible. I am loving you is possible. If it's somebody that you love, you say, instead of saying, I love you, what you're saying is, down in here somewhere there's a reservoir that feels pretty good toward you, but that's not love. But if you say, I am loving you, that means the very expression of that love is the love. And it's not love when it comes out. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, that's gushy. That's what I'm talking about. There ain't no such thing as ungushy love. Well, that's mushy. There's no such thing as unmushy love. I mean, the expressing of it and the telling of it is what love is, because as I said a while ago, love can't become a noun. Are you listening to me? Love can't become a noun till love has become a verb. It's got to come out of the machine before it's ice cream. It's not ice cream in the machine. It's ice cream as it comes out of the machine, and the coming out of the machine makes it ice cream. I'm not the affectionate type. Well, get right with God and become the affectionate type. I'm sick and tired of some of you frigidaires. Bragging on yourself because I'm just not the affectionate type. Well, don't you ever brag on yourself again. Well, I'm the one that feels it down inside. You're also a liar. You cannot feel it down inside without telling it and expressing it. Because the expressing of it and the telling of it is the loving.
My mother never loved.
Sorry, that's no excuse. Suppose your mother was on dope.
Well, but my daddy never showed me any love. I can't show my children any love.
Let's suppose your daddy was a murderer. Now you listen, it's time you quit listening to these idiot psychologists and realize that you're accountable for yourself. Your daddy's not accountable for you, and your granddad's not accountable for you. You are accountable for yourself, and if you are not loving, it is because you have chosen not to be loving. The ingredients are there. But the leaving makes it a reality. You don't love him till you tell him. You don't love her till you tell her. You don't love him till you express it. You don't love her till you express it. Love is an expression. Herein is love that God gave his son. Not herein is love that God felt good toward you. That's not love. The love is not the feeling good toward somebody. The love is the doing good to somebody. And God, he did not show his love by giving his son. He loved by giving his son. And the giving of his son was not the expression of love. It was love. Oh, boy, that's good. Love is the... Look at it, sometimes in Galatians. Love is the fruit of the Spirit is what? First, love. What's the fruit? That's what comes out of the ground. You see that. Love is a fruit, not a root. You can't see it. It's not there. You don't go out and pick some fruit off, dig down and get the roots and eat them. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the fruit of the Spirit is the expression of the ingredients in the seed. And from the root comes the shoot, from the shoot comes the root, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, I feel love for you. No, you don't. Love is the doing. He loves, but he doesn't show it. No, he doesn't. Love is the showing it. I said, that's it. Hey, that's it. You know what I long for? I long to pastor a people that express their love to each other. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about this crowd used to be out here in Lansing that the men hug the women in church. Every once in a while, I'll go somewhere to preach, and some female will walk up to me, and she'll say, "Oh, Brother Hiles, I've always wanted to meet you. Could I give you a hug?" And I'm sorry, she ain't got a license to hug me. And I step back and say, "No, ma'am, you cannot hug me." I do not, let me make it very plain. I do not believe in men hugging women unless they belong to each other. It always grinds me to see some man walk up. You got an old friend you haven't seen in a long time. You go up and hug her. Listen, shake her hand. Shake his hand. Well, you say, "Well, how's what Luffy if she comes up and tries to hug me?" Tell you, don't do it. It's what I do. But anyway, that's enough for that. I told you I was going to get some things off my chest this morning. But I'm saying that this generation... I'll write my sister a note and tell her I love her. She writes me a note and tells me she loves me. I told my mother I loved her. Every day of my life, my mother told me she loved me. Do you love your mother? Does your mother love you? Well, I think so. Does she ever tell you? No, but she does. No, she doesn't. Now listen to me, mothers. It's time you learn to say I love you, both boys and girls. And it's time you boys and girls learn to say, "I love you," to your mother. Well, you say, "It's hard to do." Well, you're supposed to do what's right if it's hard or easy. It's time you men told your wives you loved them. It's time you women told your husbands you loved them. "Well, I'm not the affectionate type." Well, here's the altar. Come down and get affectionate. You can't feel, you can't store up love. It is not love till it comes out of the machine. I said to this fellow, I said, "That's it. That's it." As I ate the ice cream, I kept talking to him. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I said, "That's not only, that's something else." I said, "Not only is love not love till it comes out of the machine, but faith is not faith till it comes out of the machine." You cannot possess faith. You cannot have faith. Faith cannot dwell. Faith becomes faith when it comes out. Oh, I have great faith. No, you don't. Well, he has great faith. No, he doesn't. Faith is not faith till it acts. You check the great faith chapter in Hebrews 11 sometime. By faith, the Israelites went through the Red Sea on dry ground. By faith, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. Didn't say by faith Abraham believed he could leave. He said he left. And the leaving is the faith. Faith is not something you have. Faith is something that you do and prove your trust in God by doing it, and faith is the doing. Saving faith. I was a paratrooper in World War II. My first jump. I was number two to jump. Right in front of me was a black boy from the Harlem in New York City. I won't go into the whole story. The sergeant said, "Stand up!" All 18 of us stood up. Nine on this side, nine on this side. C-47 plane. He said, "Stand up and hook up!" We stood up, hooked up our static line above us here. Big cable went down through the plane. He said, "Check equipment." We checked the parachute on the back of the fellow in front of us. He said, "Count off. 18 okay, 17 okay, 16 okay, 15 okay, 14 okay, 13 okay, 12 okay, 11 okay, 10 okay, 9 okay, 8 okay, 7 okay, 6 okay, 5 okay, 4 okay, 3 okay, 2 okay, 1 okay." He said, "Stand in the door." And that little black boy stood in the door. I was right behind him. His eyes got as big as silver dollars. Began to roll. He had packed his own parachute. I had packed my own parachute. Every one of us had packed our own parachute. And the sergeant said, "Ready? Jump!" And those big old white eyes through that black skin looked down. And he said, and he used this kind of accent, like all Southerners do, black or white, "No, sir, I ain't going to jump." He's from the South. They moved to New York City. "I ain't going to jump." I said, "Man, don't you believe that parachute will open?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Don't you believe that you'll make the jump open?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Then jump." "And I ain't going to jump." I saw four sergeants and three lieutenants command, push, pry, kick, and order that black boy out of that airplane. He hadn't gone out yet. I said, "Look, man, don't you believe everything will be all right?" "Yes, sir. I believe everything will be all right, Jack." I didn't call me Jack. He called me Dr. Howes in those days. And he said, "Yes, sir." I said, "You packed the chute, man. Don't you think it's packed fine?" "Yes, sir." "Okay. Jump." "No, sir, I ain't going to jump." Now ask question. Did he have faith? No, faith was the jumping. They put me in the door. My face became black. I felt that I had given my best. I tell you, when you pack a parachute properly, when the next day you're going to use it, jump in. I mean, brother, you just... I'd packed that parachute the day before. I knew that parachute was packed properly. I stood in the door. A fellow behind me named Johnson from Trinity, Texas. He tapped me on the shoulder, a short fellow. Looked up, he said, "Jack, I'll make a deal with you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I won't jump if you won't. Best deal I ever had offered." Now, wait a minute. I believe that parachute would open. I was scared to death. I wasn't one of those fellows that, "Hey, let Geronimo." I said, "No." I said, "Well, help me. Have mercy. Remember the Alamo. Long live the Queen. Gay Paris, something. I'm sorry, Happy Paris." I believe that parachute would take me to safety, but that wasn't faith. Faith was the jumping. And whenever you get to the place where you say, "I believe I'm a sinner, I believe I'm lost, I believe that I'd go to hell if I died," and by the way, you will if you don't get saved, I believe that Jesus was virgin born. I believe he came to the earth. I believe he lived a perfect life. I believe that he went to the cross. I believe he bore my sins in his body on the tree. I believe if I trust him, I'll... Okay, then jump! Whenever you say, I am going to jump. When I jumped, I was trusting that parachute. I believed up here that parachute would open, but I believed down here when I jumped and relied upon that parachute. And the word for salvation is the word rely. Saving faith is not faith till it comes out. Same thing's true about trusting faith. Now, give me a couple the Howells Anderson students here. No, I don't mean a two. I mean husband and wife. Unless y'all are married to each other, fellas. You folks came to Howells Anderson. No, I don't want you to come up here, but you came to Howells Anderson, right? Okay. When you left to come to Howells Anderson, you believed God took care of you, didn't you? Did you have any doubts? Yeah, sure you did. Faith is believing and doubting, but acting on the belief. And the faith is the acting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, you bow down and worship this golden image, or you'll be cast in a fire furnace. And they said, our God will take care of us. But if not, they had faith, they believed God would take care of them. They had some doubts that he would. But what was the faith? It was jumping in that fire furnace. And the faith was not when you said, I believe God will take care of me as I come to Howells Anderson College. The faith was when you cranked that car up and put it in drive and took off. Faith is not saying, I believe God will see me through college someday. Faith is registering next week. It's not faith till it comes out. It's not love till it comes out. Now that goes on to many other subjects. Forgiveness is not forgiveness till it comes out. You can't have forgiveness. You can forgive. But until you forgive, you don't have forgiveness. Well, I have forgiveness. Okay, but it's not forgiveness. It's the ingredient. In that little doojigger was poured some milk and was poured some sugar and was poured some eggs, but it was not ice cream to turn that thing on, and it became ice cream as it came out. I'm saying it's time that God's people did something for God, and the doing of something is the faith and the love itself. Well, I have forgiveness. No, you don't. You may give forgiveness, but the very word is forgiveness, not for haveness. Well, I have great compassion on those folks in Chicago that live in the ghettos. No, you don't have it. You may show it, but you don't have it. Listen carefully. Listen to me. Act like you're intelligent and act like you're concerned. I'm simply saying that you cannot possess love. You cannot possess forgiveness. You cannot possess compassion. You cannot possess faith. You give love. You give faith. You give forgiveness. You give compassion. And the giving makes it love and faith and compassion and forgiveness. Same thing is true with goodness. He's a good boy down inside. You have been hoodwinked. There's no such thing as a good boy down inside. Because goodness is not something that lies stagnant in a mental pool. It is not goodness until good is done. I'd like to do America a favor. I'd like to get all the psychologists and all the psychiatrists and line them up and shoot them. I'd get put in an electric chair, but I would have gone out happy. Somebody took a poll one time. They came up with this answer. If all the psychiatrists and psychologists, I know the Christian ones too. There's no such thing as a Christian psychologist. They go to the same heathen schools that the rest of the psychologists do, or go to some so-called Christian schools and study the same books the heathens study, and they have, all they do is teach the same rot with a Christian word on the end of it. That's all they do. Somebody took a poll and said if all the psychologists and psychiatrists were lined up around the equator, it'd be a good thing.
Brother Hines, my boy did smoke some pot in school. He did go out and stay in a motel with his girlfriend. He did get drunk at a drunken party some of our students had. But he's a good boy down inside. He's a dirty, sorry, stinking, rotten idiot down inside. You say, I'm the one that said it. Yeah, I didn't have courage to tell you privately, so I'm telling you publicly. He's not a... That's high school boy that goes out and gets in a pot party. He's not a good boy inside. He's a dirty sinner inside. Good is not something that is possessed. Good is something that's done. Express your love. Show your love. Tell your love. Express your faith. Do something for God. Show your compassion. Show your goodness. Because it is not love till it's shown. It's not compassion till it's shown. It's not goodness till it's shown. I enjoyed that illustration so much, I just kept on eating that ice cream. I took the Bible to James chapter 2, where it says, faith without works is dead, and dead faith is no faith at all. The work is the faith. I took him to James chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John 4, 9, and 10. 1 John 5, 3. Other passages. And I said, that's the Christian life right there. The ingredients that you pour in that little doojigger, you turn a little button on over here, and as it comes out, it is then and only then ice cream. And I said to him, the same thing is true with love. It is made love. Boy, are we some of you ladies that are looking different right now that are cold as last year's wintertime. I wish you'd quit looking so indifferent. That's one of your problems. The same women don't listen to me. Priests don't love their husbands. I wish some of you men wake up. Realize you got a wife at home that gave birth to your children and gone with the jaws of death to bring them alive. And she's reared your children and kept your house clean and washed your clothes. I wish you'd stop and realize it's a sin not to show your love. Unless you have low blood pressure, of course you shouldn't show it then. Or unless you're a father, a little truck driver. Of course you shouldn't show it then. That is a stinking satanic lie. If you have never expressed your love or told your love, you have never loved. Because love cannot be a noun till love's a verb. If you've never stepped out and risked something and taken a chance and acted on what you thought you should do in spite of the fact that you were afraid to do it, like jumping out of an airplane, you have never had faith. You had decreed it's for faith, but it wasn't faith that you took that first step. That couple didn't have faith, so they were driving to Hammond from their hometown. And you're not good unless you do good, because the doing of good is what makes good. I showed him the whole thing. I got through. I said, by the way, would you like to make some love? He said, what? What? I said, you make some ice cream there. I said, would you like to make love? I said, would you like to make some faith? And I told him how he could put his faith in Christ. And I used illustration of a chair that was there. I said, do you think that chair will hold you up? He said, yes. I said, stand up in it. He said, ah, it's dumb. I said, then you don't have faith in it. The faith is not saying that chair will hold me up. This is the faith. You have more faith than I do.
Because I don't believe that chair's going to hold you up many more years. This is the faith. I said, wouldn't you like to put your faith in Christ? I reached over and turned the ice cream machine off. I'd eaten four bowls. I turned the ice cream machine off. And we knelt beside the ice cream machine. And that fella made some faith. Because he put his faith in Christ and received Christ as his Savior. It ever dawn on you, I'm not preaching up here just to get a salary. That's not the main reason. It ever dawn on you, I'm not preaching up here just to keep from getting the job. That's the reason. You know why I'm preaching up here? I want, by the grace of God, your life to be changed. I'd like for some wife to get some tender affection today she hadn't gotten from some of you big baboons in years. I'd like for some mother to get a call this afternoon from some backslidden college student who hasn't called home in weeks and unless you wanted some money. Just call home and say, Mama, I called to tell you I love you. Sit down and write a letter home this afternoon and just say, I love you. And that is loving. Love is a verb. It's not a noun. It cannot dwell. It's not love till it comes out. This morning, if you're here and you've never been saved, look at me. You've never been saved. You've got to come to the place to where you step out and rely upon Christ. Now, listen carefully to this. You're not saved by walking the aisle. But most people are not saved in church until they do walk the aisle. Hear me carefully. Don't misunderstand me. Walking the aisle doesn't save you, but you can't be saved until you walk the aisle or even get up and tell somebody. Well, ask me a question down in Florida this week. It's amazing how the Lord works it out where I get to go to Florida in January. Just a work of God. Had a question. And they asked me, were asking me about faith. What's faith all about? I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but I made the comparison here. Faith is the stepping out and acting on belief. It is the standing on the chair. And right here today, you could take that faith and put that faith in Christ. Somebody said, how do you get folks to walk the aisle? How do you get folks to make a public profession? After you went to Christ. And I said this. When I went someone to Christ, I said, okay, Romans 10:9 says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. You believe on him? Yes. You're not ashamed, are you? No. Okay. Now you need to make it public. There's several things you can do. You can get a loudspeaker, and I'll help you do it. In fact, I'll pay for half of it, put it on top of your car. We'll go up and down the streets of the neighborhood and broadcast it. Hey, folks, listen to me. The fellow driving this car just got saved, and I want you to know about it. Or I said, we can print it up in a little flyer. We'll pass them out downtown on the street. Or you can walk the aisle in First Baptist Church, and I'll tell the people you got saved. Now, which of those three do you want to take? They always take the latter. Walking the aisle doesn't save you, but you're not saved until you act. It's not works. It's the stepping out and trusting Christ as your Savior. Now, you can be saved back there in your seat, but most people who get saved in the service, when they say, I'm going to do it. Okay, watch me carefully. I'm sitting back here. Invitation time is here. And they say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get saved. I think they got saved when they got up. It becomes faith as it comes out. It becomes love as it comes out. It becomes goodness as it comes out. Why don't you take that faith today and put that faith in Christ and walk down this aisle and let us tell the people that you're relying upon Christ to take you to heaven. I said a while ago,